The week on the Pandemic Relief Merry-Go-Round. I'm David Brancaccio. We continue a focus on Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, given its emergence as a key health and personal finance issue in the presidential campaign. Democratic vice presidential hopeful Kamala Harris asserted that the Trump administration, aided by the possible new makeup of the Supreme Court, could invalidate Obamacare, and with that, its requirement that insurance companies cover pre-existing conditions. You saw the debate the other night. Vice President Mike Pence said the administration would not let that happen, but declined to address how when asked. And there's a pandemic now. Today, let's get practical and review some current options for health coverage with nearly 12 million people on unemployment now and with so much coverage tied to jobs recently lost. Colleen Carey is Assistant Professor of Policy Analysis and Management at Cornell. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. A lot of talk in the campaign, especially about the possibility of losing pre-existing conditions if the Supreme Court rolls back the Affordable Care Act or gets rid of it. But let's talk about, in the depths of the pandemic, if people have lost jobs, a common occurrence these days, there are different options. This Affordable Care Act does allow you, if you've lost a job, if there's been a life event, to enroll.
So upon the loss of a job, you have a couple of options. So one would be to continue employer-sponsored insurance through a spouse, if that option is available to you. The fact that you lost your job means you could enroll as a spouse on your spouse's plan whenever you need it. Another option would be to pursue Affordable Care Act individual market coverage. So that you can enroll whenever you lose your job. That's a, you know, a qualifying event, they call it. And, you know, that would bring you coverage that looks not very different from your employer-sponsored insurance. If you qualify under your state's income limits, which, you know, you very well may if you're on unemployment insurance and your state expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act.
Medicaid, Affordable Care Act, maybe you have a spouse who's still employed and has that coverage. There's also the COBRA system where you can continue the insurance from your previous job. That's awfully expensive, though, right? Because people have to bear the full cost of that coverage.
Exactly. It's very expensive. And of course, that new expense comes at a time when families are dealing with the lost income from, you know, a job that has vanished. So it can be very hard for families to find those monthly premiums. There is one weird trick that I always like to make sure people are aware of for COBRA, which is that you can actually enroll in COBRA and backdate your enrollment all the way back to the time you lost your job. So what this means is, you know, you could sort of roll the dice and go without coverage for a little bit if you experienced an adverse health event like a hospitalization or, you know, needed some expensive care. At that point, you could enroll in COBRA and say that you want the coverage to begin back on the day that you lost your job.
Colleen Carey, Assistant Professor of Policy Analysis and Management at Cornell University. Thank you. On a Friday, let's check in on the trillion or trillions dollar question, the status of federal relief for people and businesses clobbered by the pandemic. Many a Friday, we consult Christopher Lowe. He's the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
I'm not even going to do this to you. I'm not going to do this to anybody. Ask whether or not a comprehensive package of pandemic relief is going to get passed anytime soon. But can you review the positions of the three key players here on a Friday morning?
Happily, yeah. I think it really is, it boils down to this simple, which is in the Senate, they have decided that no aid is preferable to a big package, a big expensive package. In the House, they have decided a lot of people need help, and the only way to help everybody is to insist that no package at all is preferable to anything less than a fairly comprehensive one. In the White House, it's increasingly clear they don't care how big it is. They just want something to be done. And Secretary Mnuchin yesterday repeating that the White House is willing to compromise.
For those wanting pandemic relief sooner rather than later, are there any signs?
So here is the good news for those who are hoping that something will emerge. We know the House rejected a $1.5 trillion package, but the Speaker is willing to settle for $2.2 trillion, which, you know, in a day where hundreds of billions this way or that way is no longer considered remarkable, maybe compromise is possible. But I don't know. We're not holding our breath for it.
And I feel duty-bound to chip in that the chair of the Federal Reserve, Jay Powell, does not agree with the Senate position. He has strongly suggested that too much aid is better than too little aid at this point.
The Fed position actually is really clear. There are 12 regional bank presidents, at least half of them now are on record, explaining the issue is that they believe the economy needs more stimulus. They believe the Fed's tools at this point are likely to be ineffective. And that means fiscal stimulus is really the only thing that will work. And again, Powell is not talking about magnitude here. We just need something. And in particular, from an economist's perspective, we really need help for people who are stuck in unemployment. And, it's important to remember there are still millions of people out of work.
Chris Lowe, he's the chief economist at FHN Financial. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
China says it has formally joined what's called the International COVID-19 Vaccine Initiative, COVAX. The group is working on plans to distribute vaccine to 2 billion vulnerable people around the world by the end of next year. The group is also pushing back against the tendency toward vaccine nationalism, this notion that countries are focused mainly on helping their own populations with the vaccine. China is the largest economy to join this group. The BBC's Robin Brandt has details.
China is one of several nations trying to create and test a safe vaccine. Around one-third of those currently in the final stage of human trials are made by Chinese firms. Now, the country where the pandemic originated has pledged to join a global effort to get 2 billion doses paid for and distributed once it's approved. The COVAX initiative aims to do this by the end of next year. A foreign ministry spokesman said China wants to ensure equitable distribution of vaccines and restated that it will prioritize developing countries after it's inoculated its own population.
That's the BBC's Robin Brandt. After a clear statement from Vice Presidential candidate Kamala Harris during the debate that a Biden administration would legalize marijuana, stocks in cannabis companies have shot upward. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
It was just a brief mention in the debate, a couple of sentences, but it certainly got traders' attention. Senator Kamala Harris said a Biden administration would decriminalize marijuana and expunge the records of people convicted of marijuana-related offenses. Decriminalization would make banks more willing to accept cannabis companies as customers, and firms could expense normal operating costs. Cannabis stocks like Canopy Growth and Aurora Cannabis closed up 10 to 13% yesterday. Senator Harris is the lead sponsor of the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, which would decriminalize cannabis. Vice President Mike Pence didn't say anything about decriminalization during the debate, but when he was a member of Congress, he voted against legislation that would keep the federal government from interfering with state medical marijuana programs. President Trump has said he supports letting states set their own cannabis policies, but his administration also revoked a memo from the Obama administration, which gave cannabis businesses some legal protection. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And in this streaming on-demand era, live TV is still a major force in politics. Audience research from Nielsen shows the Harris-Pence debate Wednesday night was watched by nearly 58 million people, the second highest ratings for any vice presidential debate ever. Palin-Biden in 2008 was the one with the bigger audience as people looked in to see what the Alaska governor was all about. We also follow the money later in the day. Listen for my colleague Kai Rizdahl, host of Marketplace, on many public radio stations or on the website marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.